Galangadog Junction, by Moya O'Shea, Episode 4.
Well, I'm all right, a little letter, gonna mail it to my local DJ.
Mrs. Barrett, come Galangadog. Mrs. Barrett, come Galangadog.
But she's already here.
Fire say, Mrs. Barrett in Galangadog.
That was quick.
Fire say, Mrs. Barrett in Galangadog to...
Yeah.
Fire say, Mrs. Barrett in Galangadog to...
Yeah.
Fire say, Mrs... Crikey, Pete. You know I can't do it if you try to read the fire over my shoulder. You know how that annoys me.
Oh, sorry, Jimmy.
Fire say, Mrs. Barrett, come Galangadog.
Mrs. Barrett, yeah, we've done that bit.
Fire say, someone come Galangadog. A woman. I don't understand. The fire definitely says, a woman come Galangadog. A woman, and also...
Hey, look, there's a woman.
That's no woman, that's Gaylene. She's out training.
Oh, good day, Gaylene!
Hello, Gaylene!
Hey, Jimmy, Pete!
Looking like a champ, Gaylene!
Thanks, Jimmy, the Betty Cup
winner. Hey, yeah, looking like a real champion, you can do it! Yeah, that's it! Faster!
Go, Gaylene, go! Out the go!
Hey, Gaylene, go! Go for gold! Faster, Gaylene!
Go, Gaylene!
Onto the podium, Tillersley, the gold medal for the 100-metre sprint in this, the 16th Olympiad, with a new record time of 11.3 seconds, Australia's favourite athlete, but more importantly, Galangadog Junction's own, Len Clancy!
Oh, crikey, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. The gold!
Mr. Clancy, your medal, and congratulations.
Ah, thanks, Prince Philip. Thanks, heaps.
And in second place, and winner of the silver medal, Betty Cuthbert! And in third place, the winner of the bronze medal...
This is a great day for Australia, and an even greater day for Galangadog Junction. For this brilliant gold medal win means people will come from far and wide, near and far, to visit the greatest little town in Australia, breeder of champions, and furthermore...
Shut up, Leonard, you idiot!
Oh! What?
Shut up, Len, oh. I'm trying to sleep. Your mad ramblings woke me up.
Oh, you mean it was just a dream?
Yes, and you're bloody well not back in Kansas at Auntie M's house. Now go to sleep.
Oh, I'm sorry, Madge. I'm very, really sorry. Madge, you wouldn't fancy a bit of...
No! Now shut up!
Yes, Madge, love.
Oh. JD, wake. Oh, we're already awake.
I've been awake for hours.
Oh, sorry, darling. Are you all right?
It's just my head is so full of everything. The fundraisers for Gaylene. There's still quite a lot more money to raise. Paying Len back the money we earn for the house.
England?
Yes. I've been thinking about England. And Mummy and Daddy and Didsbury and... And Reggie Stafford.
I've already started paying Len back.
Have you?
Well, things haven't been too bad in the surgery lately, so Len and I have agreed on a weekly amount. He seems quite keen to have the money. Somehow, I think he regrets lending it to us.
He won't regret the interest he receives.
True. I think about Reggie too. A lot.
It's funny, isn't it? When they told us back in England that Reggie Stafford was 87... I thought, well, that's fine then. No problem. But now we know him, things are so different.
Very different.
I wish he didn't have to be like Muffy.
I know, darling.
How well did you know him?
Muffy?
Mm-hmm.
Well, not well at all. I only met him twice. Of course, you've got to remember, he was pretty much deaf and blind by the time I knew him. So I guess he wasn't like he was. Now, please, Jane, don't do this. You're torturing yourself.
I'm sorry, Thomas. It's just sometimes I feel so homesick. I have to be able to justify coming all this way to Kalangadog Junction.
There, Janie. There, my Jane.
Oh, the Deadwood stage is rolling on over the plains, with the curtains flapping and a driver slapping the reins. Beautiful sky, wonderful day. Whip, crack away, whip, crack away, whip, crack away. We'll be home tonight by the light of the silvery moon. And my heart's a-thumping like a mandolin a-plunking a tune. When I get home, I'm fixing to stay. So whip, crack away, whip, crack away, whip, crack away. Whip, crack away, whip, crack away, whip, crack away.
You've got the veranda looking spick and span.
Thanks, Len.
Len, Donnie and I were wondering...
No, sorry, ladies. Can't open up early.
Oh, please, Len. It's Dawn's birthday. This is a special occasion.
Yeah, it was Dawn's birthday last week.
Huh? Was it? Oh, yeah, then it must be my birthday, then. Oh, please, Len, this is a special occasion. It's my birthday.
Sorry, Donna, Dawn, gotta stick to the law. Pub will be open in another 45 minutes.
Oh, cripes, what are we gonna do until then, Donna?
Dunno, Dawn, dunno.
You could help me mop the veranda. We could sing anything you can do, I can do better.
Donna, love, have you been to a stage of your blonde?
Oh, yes, definitely. Except for her roots, of course.
Look, Millie, I'll be upstairs in my chambers. I don't want to be disturbed unless it's very important. Got a lot of work to do, some serious decisions to make.
Righto, Len.
Thanks, Millie.
See you later.
See you, Len. Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you. No, you can. Yes, I can. No, you can't. Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Dearest Jane, it seems years since we farewelled each other that sad afternoon at the Midland Hotel, and yet it was only a matter of months. Strange how time stands still as life races by, and yet the hollow feeling I felt then as I watched you leave remains. Thankfully, Phoebe is a patient and sympathetic friend, and, as each of your letters reaches Didsbury, generously shares with me a little of your news. Your bewildering adventures in Kalangadog Junction and the life you now endure fills my heart with admiration, and if I am not being too candid, a morsel of envy for the loyalty you show to your husband in following him to the end of the earth. Whither thou goest, there go I also. Didsbury remains, as ever, Didsbury. Sometimes I notice it not, driving through its charming streets in my new Bentley, for my mind has wandered back yet again to the time when you and I spent all our days, minutes, hours, seconds, together. If I had all the riches on earth, I would gladly give them up for a second of that precious past. Fondest love, always and forever, your Jeff. P.S. Wonderful news. Your parents are very interested in a charming property I have to sell in one of Didsbury's finest avenues. If only Phoebe can persuade your father.
This is just an antiseptic dressing. In a few days, Jimmy, you can take it off and let the air get to it.
But, Dr. Barrett, how will I be able to let the air get to it without being arrested?
I mean, when you're at home, just wear a dressing gown or something loose and try not to sit down. It's a most peculiar accident. You say the fire just flared up on its own?
Yeah, it does that.
Well, it's really not too bad as burns go, but it could have been a lot worse.
Reckon. I bent down to pick up my sandwiches and woof! The fire was trying to tell me something. Now I'll probably never know.
Mm. Well, you can pull your trousers back up. Right. Any problems, come back and see me.
Thanks, Dr. Barrett.
Dr. Barrett?
Yes?
Can I tell you something?
Yes, of course, Jimmy. What is it?
Pete and I know Mrs. Barrett is here for a reason.
What?
Mrs. Barrett is in Kalangadog for a reason. A very important reason.
Excuse me, Thomas. Sorry to interrupt, but Reggie Stafford's outside.
Reggie Stafford?
Yes, he seems rather distressed.
I'm just finishing with Jimmy. Ask him to come in.
No, he won't.
He won't come into the surgery?
No, he won't come into the house.
Oh.
He wondered if you would come and see him after surgery.
At his house?
No, outside in our garden.
Yes, of course. Tell him yes. I'll just finish up here.
Thank you, Thomas.
Right, Jimmy. Well, that's about all I can do for you.
Thanks, Doc. Really appreciate it. Didn't feel like going to Madge with a bad burn like this, owing to the situation.
On your bottom?
No, because you're a qualified doctor and she's not.
And then when Daddy's partner took ill, a replacement had to be found, and that locum turned out to be Thomas.
And that's how you met?
Yes. I was going out with somebody else then, but when Daddy brought Thomas home for dinner and he walked in with that shy grin of his, I sort of plummeted.
I bet you didn't think you'd end up in Australia.
I can't say it was uppermost in my mind walking down the aisle.
I was married once.
Really?
Yes, years ago. Sadly, it didn't work out. Of course, this was back in...
Hello. Fancy a cup of tea? Oh, you've got some. No wonder I couldn't find the good teapot.
Jane's been looking after me.
That's my Jane.
Well, I think it's best I leave you two to discuss things.
Thanks, darling.
Oh, no. Don't go, Jane. This isn't a medical matter.
Oh.
Oh, dear.
It's just that I had to tell someone.
It's okay, Reggie.
Are you sure you wouldn't like to go into the surgery anyway? It's more private in there.
No, it's all right. I'm sure half the town knows by now. Len Kenzie has sacked me as Gaelic's coach.
What?
What?
He says the future of Kalangadog Junction is too important to entrust to someone whose loyalties are elsewhere.
Elsewhere? Is he saying that because you're one of us?
I don't know. I don't. I suppose so.
All right, who's next? Oh, are you the only one, Dawn?
Yes, Madge.
All right, then, come into the surgery.
Right, now, sit down, Dawn. What seems to be the trouble?
I'm a bit embarrassed.
Ah, you haven't got women's problems, have you?
Yes, Madge, oh. I have.
You can tell me. I'm a woman.
Oh, yeah. Well, after Grantley and I...
Make love.
...have our dinner, we always...
Make love.
...have a cup of tea, and then we have...
Make love.
...an argument. Every evening I say to Grantley we should...
Make love.
...share the washing up. Not even make him do it on his own, even though I've slaved for hours over a hot stove, but share the washing up. Wash up together. After...
Excuse me, Dawn. Have you been speaking to Mrs. Barrett?
About this? No?
Funny. It's just this sort of subversive talk smacks of Mrs. Khrushchev asking Nikita to don a penny and change the baby's nappy.
Oh, Grantley would never change baby Dwayne. Anyway, I'd heard a rumour you always make Len do the washing up when he's at your house.
Oh, well, that's different, Dawn. Leonard's my love slave. Listen, I think you may need some pills to calm you down a little. Now then, let's see. Yes, these little coloured ones are the best. Right, now you take a yellow one in the morning, a red one at lunchtime, and... probably one of the greatest discoveries of the 20th century. Right, I'll give you a 2-week course...
These aren't the pills you gave Len for his bad back, are they?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not sure about these. I heard they didn't help at all. And when he went to visit Dr. Barrett, Oh, is it the time? Oh, crikey, I'm supposed to be meeting Donna and baby Narella. Madge, you've locked me in. Madge!
Go! 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Oh, ripper time, Gaelene, ripper time. Betty Cuthbert will be quaking in her boots.
Oh, grouse. Shall I finish with some sit-ups? I could... Oh, hi, Dr. Barrett!
Hello, Gaelene. Looking good.
Yeah, she is, isn't she, Tommy? Training with me, she'll come on in leaps and bounds. Right, better do a few sit-ups, Gaelene.
Hi, Kaelin.
Certainly looks like a champion, all right.
Yeah, she does, doesn't she? Do me a favour, Tommy. Don't tell Madge I let you watch Gaelene training, eh?
No, I, Look, Reggie is very hurt that you sacked him.
Yeah. Shame that. Good enough bloke, Reggie Stafford. But let's face it, As mayor of Kalangadog Junction, I have to ensure that this town has the best possible chance of winning the gold medal in Melbourne. Now, the only way I could do that was to take over Gaylene's training myself. Here, look at this. This is the design for the statue dedicated to Gaylene in the town square. Mm. Isn't it the most beautiful thing you've ever seen?
But it's a statue of you.
Where's me?
It's, what do you call it? Allegorical.
What's that?
The image of the trainer is used to represent all the hard work and dedication of the athlete. Clever, eh?
You designed this.
Yeah, how did you guess? And so, whilst this seems to be a likeness of me, it is in fact a monument to Gaylene and everything that has made her great.
Wow! Where's me?
I told you, this is representative. It's a depiction.
Yeah, I get that bit, but where's me?
Look at my eyes in the drawing. You can see I'm thinking of you.
If you'll excuse me, I think I better be getting back to the surgery.
Oh, yeah, sure, Tommy. See you, mate. But look, Gaylene, you don't understand.
I understand completely. What I want to know is where's me?
Here, look. I'll draw a little gold medal on my lapel and put your face on it.
No, Len, that's not good enough. I want the whole statue to be of me.
Oh, crikey, Gaylene, you're being bloody unreasonable. That would be like giving you all the credit. I reckon a small figure of you standing on my shoulder like a little angel.
An angel? Yeah. I want the whole statue of me standing on a great big enormous plinth.
I'm back, darling.
How did you get on?
No luck. Len isn't interested in Reggie's feelings. All that counts is winning the gold.
At least you tried, Thomas. I'm just sorry we couldn't get Reggie into the surgery when we had the chance. It seems like fate is against us.
It does, doesn't it? Oh, cheer up, Janie. Where's my lady's copy of The Lancet?
Here. Just in the bookcase.
I can't believe how long these take to get from England. I'll go into the surgery and read it.
Thomas?
Mm-hmm.
I received something in the post the other day, too.
Really, darling?
A letter.
From your mother?
No, it wasn't. It was from...
That's nice. How is she?
It's odd. I haven't heard from Mummy for a while.
Did she, dear? Oh, that's good. Give her my love when you write back. I'll leave you to it, then.
Yes, Thomas.
That's it, Donna. Slap her face. I've seen them do that to people in the movies.
Spooky, isn't it? She's just sort of staring into space. Dawn? Dawn, it's me. It's Donna. Donna Knowles?
And Millie.
And Millie. You remember Millie? Millie the barmaid? I'm Donna, Baby Narelle's mummy. You remember Baby Narelle? Baby Narelle who finger paints. Dawn, remember when Baby Narelle finger painted with...
I remember. Oh, thank God.
Oh, where have you been? You were supposed to be here hours ago. Pub will be closing soon. What is it, Dawn? What's happened to you?
She's on her way here. She's on her way. I ran ahead to warn everyone. She's on...
Who?
Madge.
Oh, hello, Madge. New dress? Looks very nice.
Where is he?
Out training Gaylene. He should be back at any...
Hello, everyone. hello, Madge, love. Didn't expect to see you here. I've been...
On the count of three... I'd like everyone except for Leonard to leave the pub. One. Two. Three.
Now, Madge, I can explain. I was in agony. You were in Wangalong. I had to get help. Now, Madge, calm down. Calm down.
And if I am not being too candid, a morsel of envy for the loyalty you showed to your husband in following him to the end of the earth. Whither thou goest, there go I also.
Her Majesty has been made ready for her
enough. Oh, look. Look at the Duke of Edinburgh, always by her side. Isn't that romantic?
They remind me of us, a queen and her consort.
Now, Jeff, you know you're more the Prince Charming type.
Am I?
Yes.
The moment she stands.
Oh, yes, you are.
So striking in contrast to the splendor of the room.
for my mind has wandered back yet again to the time when you and I spent all our days, minutes, hours, seconds together. If I had all the riches on earth, I would gladly give them up for a second of that precious past.
And my father's agreed to help me go out on my own. Geoffrey Honeycutt & Co. Property Development. How does that sound, eh?
Most impressive.
And father's letting me take over the new estate.
I thought that was going to stay parked.
Nope, not since our little chat with a few of the local councillors. Ha-ha! I'm on my way, Jane. We're on our way. I'm doing this for you. For us.
It seems years since we farewelled each other that sad afternoon. Strange how time stands still as life races by, and yet the hollow feeling I felt then as I watched you leave.
Sorry to interrupt, Janie. How's the letter writing going?
No, all right, Thomas.
I was wondering if my beautiful wife had any plans for next Sunday.
Sunday? No.
Good. You have a date with your husband.
Where?
Ever heard of the waterhole at Halfway Creek?
No.
Well, Mrs. Barrett, you have now. A romantic little spot Jimmy told me about.
Yeah, and then I led her out into the street with me arms around her, told her she looked just like Audrey Hepburn in Roman Holiday, and sent her home to rest.
Oh, how romantic.
Oh, romantic, eh? Well, Madge was really upset. I mean, truly, really, really upset. Righto, Gaylene, what can I do for you?
I bought something to show you.
Oh, yeah? What is it?
My little design for the statue in the town square.
Oh, finished already. Okay, let's see what you come up with.
Here you go, Len. What do you think?
The both of us? Arm in arm? Naked?
Yeah, grouse, hey? I wanted to portray us like those Roman statues you see. Like gods.
Gods? But naked? What's that? A fig leaf I'm wearing?
Oh, no, gum leaf. I thought it was more appropriate. What do you think?
I think the, likenesses are very good.
Yeah? Of course, I had to use my imagination for you.
You did? Well, you sat down and imagined me dressed in a gum leaf.
Uh-huh. Grouse, hey?
But, Gaylene, I'm a married man.
I imagined you without the wedding ring.
Yeah, well, I like the way you've drawn the plinth, and the way you've angled the ivy leaves coming up, it looks
imagine
nice.
Imagine us side by side in a town square forever.
But naked!
Like gods! Of course, if you'd rather not be next to me, I could have the plinth all to myself.
No, but, look, couldn't I wear a towel or something?
Len, we agreed it was up to me to design a statue of both of us, otherwise I wouldn't go to the Olympics. Oh, be a good sport, Lenny. Be a good sport.
But, Gaylene.
Oh, be a good sport, Lenny. Would you mind if I kissed you?
Well,
Oh, Lenny.
Oh, Gaylene. Oh. Gaylene. The name drips off the tongue like Tasmanian leatherwood, honey.
Here's my lovely Lenny. Where's the great gift to my Audrey Hepburn?
Madge! I can explain. Gaylene's thinking of entering for the judo as well as the sprints. I was just showing her a few
holds, Len, or throws.
Now, let me guess. You know a few throws yourself, right?
Oh, bonza guess, Leonard. A real bonza guess.
Is this what they mean by a billabong?
Suppose so. It's more like an oasis on the sun, isn't it? What do you think? Here?
This looks a spot for the picnic. That gum tree will give us a little shade. I wonder why it's called Halfway Creek.
Probably because it's halfway to nowhere.
Or from nowhere. Here, you're the wine waiter.
Yes, madame. Mm-hmm.
Right, let's see what we've got. Cold chicken.
Correction. Cold chuck.
Bread and rapidly melting butter. Salad, Jane's own, homemade gem scones and passion fruit sponge.
There's a good sound. And that looks delicious. Thank you, darling.
It certainly is hot. Oh, the water looks lovely, doesn't it?
Quite clear, too. You can see the rocks at the bottom.
It's cool in there.
Thomas?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go skinny dipping.
What?
Come on, it's so hot. Let's try.
But Jane? Jane? What are you doing?
Guess. And if you guess I'm taking my clothes off, then you could be in the running for the jackpot later.
But Jane, what if somebody sees us? That was your blouse and your... Jane?
Thomas, we're miles from Calangadoff. Come on, let's get these shorts off. Come on.
Jane, no, no, no.
Oh, no, don't tell me I've married a prude.
I'm not a prude, I'm just shy.
And I'm your wife. Now hurry up, I'm going in.
All right. Let me just get undressed then. Stay down! Stay below the water!
Hurry up! It's beautifully cold!
I'm coming, Jane. Nearly finished. Just got to take off my... Mrs. Barrett, do you mind?
Not in the slightest! Hurry up and get in here, you big white pom!
Oh, no, right, it's fantastic. Oh, it's so cold.
Oh, isn't this wonderful?
Oh, wonderful. Don't you splash me, Mrs. Barrett, or I'll have to splash you back.
No, you beast!
There. Oh. That's it, then. Oh. This means war.
No.
I'm coming to get you,
no.
Jane.
No.
You
no.
better swim for your life, because
no.
I'm coming to get you.
No, don't.
The water monster of halfway creeps is coming to get you. Here I come.
No.
The monster's coming to get you. The monster's hungry and he wants revenge. Here comes the hungry monster.
Stop!
What is it, Jane?
Whatever you do, don't stand up, but slowly turn around and look behind you on the bank.
Ah!
Jane!
Mummy!
Phoebe?
Jane?
Jeff!
Thomas!
Jeff? Jane?
Still in pain, eh, Jimmy?
Reckon. I knew there was going to be trouble when the fire flared like that.
It's amazing we found those two waiting at the station just like the fire said we would.
Yeah. Funny they wouldn't say who they were. Mm. Just wanted the Barretts.
Good thing you knew they were spending the day at the Halfway Creek waterhole.
Oh, damn it.
What?
I forgot to tell the Barretts not to swim there.
Oh, you didn't. Cripes, Jimmy.
You did.
Well, you don't think they'd be that silly, do you?
I hope not.
I mean, that old monster Percy hasn't been spotted for years, but you never know.
Yeah, you never know.
Biggest crocodile ever seen in the state.
Yeah, a giant. Nah, I reckon Percy's long gone.
Yeah.
Just his legend remains.
Yeah. I wonder if he ever had children.
Calangadock Junction was written by Moira O'Shea and starred Caroline Quentin as Jane, John Dutteen as Thomas and Reggie, Neil Ashdown as Jimmy, Toby Longworth as Pete, Jeff and Prince Philip, Brian Bowles as Len and announcer, Joanna Munro as Madge and Donna, Moira O'Shea as Gaylene and Dawn, Julie Gibbs as Millie and June Whitfield as Phoebe. The signature tune was performed by Bill Bailey. And the producer was Liz Anstey.
I've got the rocking pneumonia, I need a shot of rhythm and blues. I got the rolling arthritis sitting down at my rhythm review. I roll over Beethoven, they're rocking in 2x2. I roll over Beethoven, I roll over Beethoven.